This podcast brought to you by Peterson Auto Group. With 5 stores and 10 brands and more than 1,800 new and used vehicles to choose from, Peterson Auto Group likely has your perfect car.
Live from the Next Title Studio, this is News Talk 670 KBOI. If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KBOI.
8:39, David Allen in for Paul J. Today, Chris Walton here in the studio with me, Todd Fundy pushing all the buttons.
And, of course, former FBI Director James Comey is answering questions in front of the Senate committee right now.
Actually, he looks like he's just sitting there because all the questions seem to be about 5 minutes long.
Well, it's like I said, you know, when you give somebody in the Senate the chance to talk,
yeah,
they take it.
Mark Warner's all over the place. Does it bother you that the only thing that I'm focusing on is how askew Comey's tie is? It's just off a little bit.
Well, I think that's does he have, you know, he doesn't have a lavalier mic, does he?
No, he does not.
You're right. It's just off.
Yeah, it's just off. And it's throwing me off a little bit. I'm actually focused more on that than anything he might say. He did have a quote earlier that I was concerned the president might lie about the nature of our meeting.
Well, he said that he already said the White House has just tried to defame him with nothing but lies.
Yeah.
Let's see. Comey said the shifting explanations for his firing confused and unnerved him, including when the president related it to Russia. And let's see. He said already he said the Clinton emails explanation for his firing didn't make sense to him. He also called the president slams on the FBI that the FBI was in turmoil. He said those are just flat out lies. He said the FBI is honest, the FBI is strong, and the FBI is and always will be independent. But, you know, I mean, and a lot of people pointed out yesterday, especially Alan Dershowitz kept appearing on TV shows, the attorney, and pointing out that the president has a legal right to fire the head of the FBI.
Sure.
And yeah, so I mean, that's not even in dispute.
And the FBI director is always going to defend the FBI. He's going to say, yeah, it's not in a mess.
An awful lot of people on Twitter kept arguing that, well, I mean, you know, obviously Trump's in the clear because Comey admitted that he told him he wasn't under investigation. Well, that's not all there is to this. Yes, he told him he wasn't under investigation, but his campaign was.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean that Donald Trump himself is in trouble.
336-3700, 1-800-529-5264, #670 on your Verizon wireless. Do you feel the Comey investigation and the Senate questioning today will end up hurting the president? Will there be blowback? Will there be collateral damage? Will there be anything to, mm-hmm. of this, or will it just end up being a bunch of senators talking loud and Comey answering questions and nothing actually happens? And
yeah. Because those,
I guess my question is, will there be revelations today?
I don't know. I mean, there were, I guess, I don't know. Would you call what Comey wrote yesterday? Because yesterday he gave his prepared opening remarks.
Yes.
He gave that to the press and said, here's what I'm going to say. So basically he said, you know, start your engines,
gentlemen. Yeah.
And there wasn't anything that was terribly new in there.
Nope.
He said that what he had said before, that the president, as far as he was concerned, was asking for his loyalty, as if to say, if you're not going to be loyal to me, then you will be fired because of that. And he didn't tell the president he would give him loyalty. He said he would give him honesty. And then the president said, well, that's what I want, is honest loyalty. And you know, and he said he agreed with that, but he didn't know if the two of them both knew the meaning of honest loyalty.
Yeah. Does that seem strange to you that the president would ask for loyalty?
Well, not necessarily. It didn't sound strange to me either. It's not strange to me. I mean, the director of the FBI wants the Department of Justice and the FBI to be somewhat independent so that if they need to investigate anybody in the current administration, they can do so without feeling like they, that they owe the president anything in particular. And he said that at some point he thought that, President Trump wanted him, and he said that President Trump acted like they had never talked about his job before, as if he wanted him to beg for his job, so that when the president told him he could keep his job, that suddenly he would owe him something. And, you know, who knows? I mean, because he's kind of trying to, he was just giving his impressions of what he thought the president meant by all the things he said. And my guess is that the president is going to say just the opposite.
Got the final traffic report coming up in a couple minutes. But first, let's go to Ted in Boise. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
I'm fine. I just, this whole charade in, of this testimony and whatnot, I kind of, you know, Chris has this way of leaning toward, boy, we can't wait till we get something on President Trump. I'd like Chris to tell me a fact. What facts have come out of this boondoggle of an investigation? What facts have come out? Or are you going to wait for 4 years? And if nothing comes out, I haven't heard one iota of evidence. Of anything coming out of this investigation. Nothing that President Obama and Bush and some of the other previous presidents, channels of communication, they've done it. I mean, everything that's going on is innuendo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I can defend probably what I said, but I can't defend what you think I meant. I didn't mean to be leaning toward let's get something on President Trump. I think what I said is that I'm not one of those people that's 100% sure that either side is telling completely the truth.
Well, tell me why. Give me a fact that...
I'm not going to. I never said I was going to give you a fact.
Well, no. Well, can you at least admit nothing has come out?
Sure.
A provable fact?
Nothing has come out that's a provable fact. Sure. I can do that.
Excuse me, Chris. You have the whole program. Let me at least get out my thought. Can you give me any iota of a fact that has come up that proves that Trump or any one of his cabinet or his campaign staff was in collusion with Russia to throw the election?
You're done?
Yeah, I'm done.
Nope.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Next, we'll argue about whether I like pie.
Oh, that's not an argument. You like pie. We all like pie.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Are you sure?
I'm
sure
we've talked about it.
I'm sure somebody probably out there thinks I don't.
That we've talked about it before. You and I on the show.
And of course, by that, I mean the circumference of a circle.
Yes, not 3.14. I mean that, not like an apple pie. That goes without saying. 845 now at 670 KBOI.
Yeah, when you ask a question about something, it doesn't necessarily mean you're looking for one answer and one answer only.
Exactly.
Fox Live, today at 3. Listen to Nate on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. Let's go to Westwood One's coverage. Idaho Senator Jim Risch right now questioning James Comey.
Go. He is a good guy. I hope you can let this go. Now, those are his exact words. Is that correct?
Correct.
And you wrote them here and you put them in quotes?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you for that. He did not direct you to let it go.
Not in his words, no.
He did not order you to let it go.
Again, those words are not an order.
No. He said, I hope. Now, like me, you probably did hundreds of cases, maybe thousands of cases, charging people with criminal offenses. And, of course, you have knowledge of the thousands of cases out there that where people have been charged. Do you know of any case where a person has been charged for obstruction of justice or, for that matter, any other criminal offense where they said or thought they hoped for an outcome?
I don't know well enough to answer. And the reason I keep saying his words is I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, this is the President of the United States with me alone saying, I hope this. I took it as this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
You may have taken it as a direction, but that's not what he said.
Correct.
He said, I hope.
Those are exact words.
Okay.
Correct.
You don't know of anyone that's ever been charged for hoping something. Is that a fair statement?
I don't as I sit here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Feinstein.
Thanks very much, Mr. Chairman.
All right, as soon as Senator Feinstein starts talking, I tune out. Let's go to the phones. Robert in Boise, you're on 670 KBOI.
Wow. Good morning, guys, first of all. You know, I voted for Donald Trump, and I'm very disappointed in that man. He's done a lot of things this year that are definitely not good. Okay. And firing Comey while he was under investigation was really started the ball down the hill. But everybody knows what Donald Trump's doing. I mean, the sun rises from the east. We're not stupid. And when you insinuate to Comey that you'd like him to not investigate somebody, and if you're the president, that's an order.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that. He can delicately put the words however he wants to. It's the president of the United States. When he asks you to jump, you ask how far. So,
but, you know, I mean, Risch, who was just, I mean, obviously Risch is from Idaho. He's from right around here. And he was just asking him about the exact wording. And that's exactly what a lawyer would say. And for the most part, that's probably what would stand up in court, which is why people sign contracts that have exact wording.
Yeah, Trump's pretty careful about what he says, I think, in certain situations. Sometime or another, he's not going to be, and it's going to catch up with him, because he's got a whole different agenda as a president than most presidents do. Not that our presidents have always been great that we've had with their agendas. Trump's got a personal one going. And when somebody says, you know, his staff this and his staff that, a lot of his staff is his family. And even his family's done a bunch of bad things. It's a really bad situation he's got going on.
Do you think there's a way for him? I mean, because, you know, you say he's done a lot of bad things this year. We're only 6 months into his presidency. Is there a way for him to turn it around for you that will appease you and make you a believer again like you did on November 8th when you voted for him?
Well, I'm a staunch Republican, always have been, always will be. I'm extreme, you know, conservative. I think if he goes back to conservative values and does the things that he was on his platform for, I don't think the wall's anything that anybody that's conservative wants. That's kind of stupid. But I do believe bringing jobs here and those kind of things. I think if he gets back to that and rebuilding the infrastructure in the United States and doing those things instead of talking about them, so far all he's done is a bunch of talk and went on a bunch of vacations and ran his mouth on Twitter. That's all he's done. Until he does something, I don't have any respect for him. Now he's just turned into a typical politician as far as what he's doing, and a very untypical president as far as his rhetoric.
All right, Robert.
I don't think there's any saving him.
All right, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
You know, it's funny. If you asked me of the last, say, let's go with the last eight presidents,
okay,
back to Nixon, which one was the most different than all the others, I wouldn't say that it's Trump, to tell you the truth.
Jimmy Carter.
No, I wouldn't say that either.
Really?
I would say the one that was the most different, especially early in his, you know, in his time, early during his term as president, was the older George Bush. And I'll tell you why. He's the only one that didn't follow somebody from the opposite party. And so he's the only one that didn't start off his administration trying to change what the previous party had done.
That's true.
Because he just followed Reagan, and he'd been Reagan's vice president. So he was kind of trying to keep up what Reagan was doing. You know, but Clinton followed a Republican, so he tried to turn things around.
Bush followed the younger
Bush followed Clinton. He tried to turn things around. Obama turned things around from Bush. Trump is trying to turn things around from Obama. It's not that much different than it has been in the past.
That's a good point. 8:56 now, national news coming up, followed by local with Rick, and then Chris and I will be back to talk more Comey after this on 670 KVO.
At Big O Time. If you're talking about it,
they don't care about the view. They're not there for a discussion.
We're talking about it.
Let's take a deep breath and not get too carried away.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. Schneider and Chris Walton on News Talk 670 KVOI.
Welcome back to the show. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you on 670 KVOI. Let's head back to Westwood One's coverage of the Comey Senate hearing. Senator Marco Rubio in asking the questions now of former FBI Director James Comey.
It all came out. The people around me were doing things that were wrong.
Yes, as I recorded it accurately there, that was the sentiment he was expressing. Yes, sir.
So what it bears, it comes down to is the president has asked three things of you. He asked for your loyalty, and you said you would be loyally honest.
Honestly loyal.
Honestly loyal. He asked you on one occasion to let the Mike Flynn thing go because he was a good guy. By the way, you're aware that he said the exact same thing in the press the next day. He's a good guy. He's been treated unfairly, et cetera, et cetera. So I imagine your FBI agents read that.
I'm sure they did.
The president's wishes were known to them, certainly by the next day when he had a press conference with the prime minister. But going back, the three requests were, number one, be loyal. Number two, let the Mike Flynn thing go. He's a good guy. He's been treated unfairly. And number three, can you please tell the American people what these leaders in Congress already know, what you already know, what you've told me three times, that I'm not under personally under investigation?
Those are the three things he asked. Yes, sir.
You know, this investigation is full of leaks left and right. I mean, we've learned more from the newspapers sometimes than we do from our open hearings, for sure. You ever wonder why, of all the things in this investigation, the only thing that's never been leaked is the fact that the president was not personally under investigation, despite the fact that both Democrats and Republicans and the leadership of Congress knew that and have known that for weeks?
I don't know. I find matters that are briefed to the Gang of Eight are pretty tightly held, in my experience.
Finally, who are those senior leaders at the FBI that you shared these conversations with?
As I said in response to Senator Feinstein's question, Deputy Director, my Chief of Staff, General Counsel, the Deputy Director's Chief Counsel, and then more often than not, the number three person at the FBI, who's the Associate Deputy Director, and then quite often the head of the National Security Branch.
Senator White.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Comey, welcome. You and I have had...
All right. That was an interesting question. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we had to get out from Dianne Feinstein because we had a call and we went to the break at the top of the hour. It wasn't because she's a Democrat, because we'll go back to it here in a second. But I find it interesting.
And apparently we just happened to go away from Ron Wyden.
Well, I'm just getting ready. I wanted to comment on Comey before we go back. I find it interesting that it seems like to me so far, Democrats are like, hey, give us dirt on Trump. Republicans are like, you are a horrible person who turned on Trump. And
yeah,
I find
that's if you go simply by what the people who aren't in Congress were tweeting yesterday. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Here's the Oregon senator investigating on the Senate subcommittee.
Prospects. He asked for your loyalty and denied allegations against him. All took place over one supper. Now, you told Senator Warner that the president was looking to, quote, get something. Looking back, did that dinner suggest that your job might be contingent on how you handled the investigation?
I don't know that I'd go that far. I got the sense my job would be contingent upon how he felt I conducted myself and whether I demonstrated loyalty. But I don't know whether I'd go so far as to connect it to
you
the investigation.
You said the president was trying to create some sort of patronage relationship. In a patronage relationship, isn't the underling expected to behave in a manner consistent with the wishes of the boss?
Yes.
Okay.
Or at least consider how what you're doing will affect the boss as a significant consideration.
Let me turn to the Attorney General. In your statement, you said that you and the FBI leadership team decided not to discuss the president's actions with Attorney General Sessions, even though he had not recused himself. What was it about the Attorney General's own interactions with the Russians or his behavior with regard to the investigation that would have led the entire leadership of the FBI to make this decision?
Our judgment, as I recall, was that he was very close to and inevitably going to recuse himself for a variety of reasons. We also were aware of facts that I can't discuss in an open setting that would make his continued engagement in a Russia-related investigation problematic. And so we were convinced, and in fact, I think we'd already heard that the career people were recommending that he recuse himself, that he was not going to be in contact with Russia-related matters much longer. And that turned out to be the case.
How would you characterize Attorney General Sessions' adherence to his recusal, in particular with regard to his involvement in your firing, which the president has acknowledged was because of the Russian investigation?
That's a question I can't answer. I think it's a reasonable question. If, as the president said, I was fired because of the Russia investigation, why was the Attorney General involved in that chain? I don't know. And so I don't have an answer for the question.
Your testimony was that the president's request about Flynn could infect the investigation. Had the president got what he wanted and what he asked of you, what would have been the effect on the investigation?
Well, we would have closed any investigation of General Flynn in connection with his statements and encounters, statements about and encounters with Russians in the late part of December. So we would have dropped an open criminal investigation.
So, in effect, when you talk about infecting the enterprise, you would have dropped something major that would have spoken to the overall ability of the American people to get the facts.
Correct. And as good as our people are, our judgment was we don't want them hearing that the President of the United States wants this to go away because it might have an effect on their ability to be fair and impartial and aggressive.
Now, the acting Attorney General Yates found out that Michael Flynn could be blackmailed by the Russians, and she went immediately to warn the White House. Flynn is gone, but other individuals with contacts with the Russians are still in extremely important positions of power. Should the American people have the same sense of urgency now with respect to them?
I think all I can say, Senator, is the special counsel's investigation is very important. Understanding what efforts there were or are by the Russian government to influence our government is a critical part of the FBI's mission. So, and you've got the right person in Bob Mueller to lead it. So it's a very important piece of work.
All right. It's 9:14. We're going to go away for a minute. That was Senator Wyden from Oregon asking the questions of former FBI Director James Comey. We're going to take a break. We'll come back and join it again in progress from Westwood One. It's 9:14. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
Remember, you are listening to Paul J. and Chris on 670 KBOI.
KBOI rewards code today is TESTIFY, T-E-S-T-I-F-Y, TESTIFY. James Comey, former FBI director, is testifying today. Senator Susan Collins from Maine is asking questions right now. But first, let's go to Steve in Boise. You're on 670 KBOI. How are you?
Good morning, David. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, do you think this is a case of wagging the dog?
In which way?
How so? Well, because this Russian thing, you remember Barack Obama during the prior to the election said that nobody could hack our election. Remember Trump made the comment about would you accept the results of the election?
Mm-hmm.
That was the premise that this whole election, this whole Russian probe started from. And he said, I might. It depends on who wins. You remember that comment?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah.
And now it's escalated. They tried, I don't know how many countless times to make something stick. The only thing that got traction was the Russian thing. There's been no evidence that there was a Russian connection. If these people want to stand by Obama's words that our elections can't be hacked, then why are they going after this Russian connection? It's been 6 months. They found nothing. It sounds like a wag the dog to take the focus off of Trump trying to get his agenda through.
Well, yeah, and
it'll be hard enough if he gets his own people in.
Well, and this week the Senate might be voting on the new health care bill. And also, they're probably going to vote to cancel Dodd-Frank. So, there's kind of a lot going on that it could be just a distraction. You never know.
Well, and, I would be more concerned about the Muslim connection in this country than the Russian connection.
Do you feel, Steve, there's still a pale over the country about the Soviets and the Russians and the Red Scare and Better Dead Than Red and all that stuff? And so they're always the big bugaboo in the closet trying to get us at night while we're sleeping as little kids.
Yeah, and it's on the media every day. I mean, every time I turn on the news, all it is, there's the Russian connection, and there's no evidence of it, but we've got all this charge, and we've got all this media attention focused on it. That's what I say. I think it's wag the dog. I think what they're trying to do is just take the focus off what's really going on in the country, And, you know, there's some bigger issues than, you know, than the media.
All right, Steve. Thanks for checking in today. We appreciate it. You have instant messages, sir?
I do have a few.
Okay.
David Boise says, do you guys or any of your listeners or anybody in the courtroom actually think the truth is going to come out?
No.
Everybody involved are expert liars. It's what they do for a living. So what does anybody expect is going to happen? It's politics as usual.
I told you that at 8:30, because you said somebody had sent you an instant messages, a message, or somebody had called and said, you know, between Trump and Comey, who do you believe? And I said, neither one of them.
Well, there you go.
Neither one of them. I don't believe anybody. And I don't believe any politician anymore.
And, well, you know, it's like the people that keep, every time you mention something about, you know, like, well, they're going to investigate Trump for this. And then they say, well, why don't they investigate Hillary Clinton? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, they probably should do that, too.
Yeah, they should investigate everybody who they think has done something wrong.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, they pick and choose the way they do. I mean, I'm sure it's, again, politics,
sure.
Like he just said. Bob Boise says, if Comey was a stand-up guy, he could have tendered his resignation. That's what an honest person would do. And then Billy Boise says, what rock has this guy been living under? And I think he was talking about our first caller.
Mm-hmm. I think so, too. Let's go to Rich in Boise. Rich, you're on 670 KBOI. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. Well, I mean, first of all, it's would you believe Trump against anybody? I mean, that's kind of a question that needs to be asked.
I'll tell you, Rich, I don't believe anybody in D.C. anymore. I don't believe anybody in D.C. I don't care what party they are or what they do. I don't believe anybody.
So, Comey took these notes and he gave them to somebody else or emailed them or something so they'd be verified where they came. And they were taken before he was fired. Trump brings him into the office, has the witnesses leave, and then asks him to tamp down this investigation. He also asked the National Security Advisor and the head of the NSA. Yesterday, they were asked repeatedly, Trump asked you to tamp this down. They repeatedly refused to answer the question. And as far as what that Steve or Gary just said, all of our intelligence agencies think that Russia tried tampering with the election. Where do these people keep saying there's no evidence that Russia tried interfering in the election? I mean, just over and over, they've said that, and they've all agreed with it. We see the evidence of it, the things that were brought out, that the Russians brought out. So, you know, where do they get that there's no connection between Russia and Russia interfering in the election? There's not a connection. They don't have a connection between Trump personally. But, you know, there is still evidence of a connection. And, you know, Comey took some pretty good notes. I think Trump was trying to get him to shut down that investigation. And that's kind of what these hearings and stuff are about, is if Trump did that. He asked him to shut down the investigations, and then Comey refused, and so he fired him. So that's some evidence there that there was something going on.
All right, Rich. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Senator Heinrich from New Mexico is now asking the questions of former FBI Director James Comey. We will rejoin Westwood One's coverage after the news at the bottom of the hour. It's 9:26. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live with Paul J. and Chris. More local talk with Nate Shellman is live this afternoon at 3 on 670 KBOI.
Welcome back to the show. School's out, and that means traffic is a breeze, right? Wrong. Traffic is a 12-month-a-year trial by fire. Get ahead of the game by getting current information to your smartphone. Text the word DRIVE to 67664, and you'll get traffic text alerts from Right Now Traffic and 670 KBOI. 9:37. Right now, Senator Blunt from Missouri is questioning former FBI Director James Comey. Let's go back to Westwood One's coverage right now.
Public media.
Correct.
What kind of information was that? What kind of information did you give to a friend?
That the Flynn conversation, that the president had asked me to let the Flynn, I mean, I'm forgetting my exact own words, but the conversation in the Oval Office.
So you didn't consider your memo or your sense of that conversation to be a government document? You considered to be somehow your own personal document that you could share with the media as you wanted to?
Correct.
Through a friend?
I understood this to be my recollection recorded of my conversation with the president. As a private citizen, I felt free to share that. I thought it very important to get it out.
So were all of your memos that you recorded on classified or other documents memos that might be yours as a private citizen?
I'm sorry, I'm not following the question.
Well, I think you said you'd use classified.
Not the classified documents. Unclassified. I don't have any of them anymore, but I gave them to the special counsel. But, yeah, my view was that the content of those unclassified, the memorialization of those conversations was my recollection recorded.
So why didn't you give those to somebody yourself rather than give them through a third party?
Because I was worried the media was camping at the end of my driveway at that point, and I was actually going out of town with my wife to hide, and I worried it would be like feeding seagulls at the beach if it was I who gave it to the media. So I asked my friend, make sure this gets out.
It does seem to me that what you do there is create a source close to the former director of the FBI as opposed to just taking responsibility yourself for saying, here are these records. Like everybody else, I have other things I'd like to get into, but I'm out of time.
Okay.
Senator King.
Thank you. First, I'd like to acknowledge Senator Blumenthal and earlier Senator Nelson. I think the one principal thing you'll learn today, Senator, is that the chairs there are less comfortable than the chairs here. But I welcome you to the hearing. Mr. Comey, a broad question. Was the Russian activity in the 2016 election a one-off proposition, or is this part of a long-term strategy? Will they be back?
Oh, it's a long-term practice of theirs. It stepped up a notch in a significant way in 16. They'll be back.
I think that's very important for the American people to understand that this is very much a forward-looking investigation in terms of how do we understand what they did and how do we prevent it. Would you agree that that's a big part of our role here?
Yes, sir. And it's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It really is an American thing. They're going to come for whatever party they choose to try and work on behalf of. And they're not devoted to either, in my experience. They're just about their own advantage, and they will be back.
That's my observation. I don't think Putin is a Republican or a Democrat. He's an opportunist.
I think that's a fair statement.
With regard to the several of these conversations, in his interview with Lester Holt on NBC, the president said, I had dinner with him. He wanted to have dinner because he wanted to stay on. Is this an accurate statement?
No, sir.
Did you in any way initiate that dinner?
No. He called me at my desk at lunchtime and asked me, was I free for dinner that night? And called himself and said, can you come over for dinner tonight? And I said, yes, sir. He said, well, six work. I think he said six first. And then he said, I was going to invite your whole family, but we'll do that next time. I wanted you to come over. And is that a good time? I said, sir, whatever works for you. And then he said, how about 6:30? And I said, whatever works for you, sir. And then I hung up and had to call my wife and break a date with her. I was supposed to take her out to dinner that night.
That's one of the all-time great excuses for breaking a date. Yeah.
Senator King from Maine now asking the questions of former FBI Director James Comey.
That's one question I'm not going to follow up, Mr. Comey. But in that same interview, the president said, in one case I called him and in one case he called me. Is that an accurate statement?
No.
Did you ever call the president?
No. I might. The only reason I'm hesitating is I think there was at least one conversation where I was asked to call the White House switchboard to be connected to him. But I never initiated a communication with the president.
And in his press conference on May 18th, the president was asked whether he had urged you to shut down the investigation into Michael Flynn. The president responded, quote, no, no. Next question. Is that an accurate statement?
I don't believe it is.
Thank you. With regard to the question of him being under personally under investigation, does that mean that the dossier is not being reviewed or investigated or followed up on in any way?
I obviously can't comment either way. I can't talk in an open setting about the investigation as it was when I was the head of the FBI. And obviously it's Bob Mueller's responsibility now. So I don't know.
So clearly your statements to the president back in these various times when you assured him he wasn't under investigation were as of that moment. That correct, is it
correct.
Now, on the Flynn investigation, is it not true that Mr. Flynn was and is a central figure in this entire investigation of the relationship between the Trump campaign and the Russians?
I can't answer that in an open setting, sir.
Certainly Mr. Flynn was part of the so-called Russian investigation. Can you answer that question?
I have to give you the same answer.
All right. We'll be having a closed session shortly, so we will follow up on that. In terms of his comments to you about, I think you were in response to Mr. Risch, Senator Risch, he said, I hope you will hold back on that. But when you get when a president of the United States in the Oval Office says something like, I hope, or I suggest, or would you, do you take that as a directive?
Yes. Yes. It rings in my ear as kind of, will no one rid me of this meddlesome priest?
I was just going to quote that in 1170, December 29, Henry II said, who will rid me of this meddlesome priest? And then the next day he was killed, Thomas à Becket. That's exactly the same situation. We're thinking along the same lines. Several other questions, and these are a little bit more detailed. What do you know about the Russian bank VEB?
Nothing that I can talk about in an open setting.
Well, I mean, that takes care of my next three questions.
I know it exists. Yes, sir.
You know it exists.
Again, that's Senator King from Maine, independent, as you said, Chris. And like you said in the beginning of the show, because he asked him,
yeah,
when the president said, I hope you drop this investigation, or I hope we can do this, did you take that as a directive? And Comey's answer was, yes.
Yeah, he did.
Because
and what people were yesterday were comparing it to was, in The Godfather,
mm-hmm,
where, you know, the Don would say, my recommendation would, you know, but of course, do whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's like I said, his exact words were probably what would be held up in court.
Yeah.
Which is why a tape or, you know, a contract written down or something would be so much. There wouldn't even be an argument about something like that.
No, of course not. Yeah.
But a recollection, that's different.
The president asked for a grilled cheese. Says, boy, I wish I had a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch. I can almost assure you he's going to have a grilled cheese sandwich for lunch. Don't you?
I don't know the chefs at the White House, but I'm going to go with yes.
I bet they make a great grilled cheese. All right, we're going to get back to the Senate Intelligence Committee hearing with James Comey, former FBI director. We'll do more of that next. You're listening to 670 KBOI.
This is Idaho Talks Live. Today at 10, listen to Rush on 670 KBOI.
9:49 now at 670 KBOI. David Allen, Chris Walton here with you. Senator Lankford from Texas is now asking questions of former FBI Director James Comey. Let's join Westwood One again.
In theory, we have important norms against this, but direct that anybody be investigated or anybody not be investigated. I think he has the legal authority, because all of us ultimately report in the executive branch up to the president.
Okay. Would that be to you? Would that be to the attorney general? Would that be to who that would do that?
I suppose he could do it to, if he wanted to issue a direct order, could do it in any way. Could do it through the attorney general or issue it directly to me.
Well, is there any question that the president is not real fond of this investigation? I can think of multiple 140-word character expressions that he's done publicly to express he's not fond of the investigations. I've heard you share before in this conversation that you're trying to keep the agents that are working on it away from any comment the president might have made. Quite frankly, the president has informed around 6 billion people that he's not real fond of this investigation. Do you think there's a difference in that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think there's a big difference in kicking superior officers out of the Oval Office, looking the FBI director in the eye and saying, I hope you let this go. I think if the agents, as good as they are, heard the President of the United States did that,
so to you,
there's a real risk of a chilling effect on their work. That's okay. Why we kept it so tight.
Okay. You had mentioned before about some news stories and news accounts. Without having to go into all the names and the specific times and to be able to dip into all that, have there been news accounts about the Russia investigation, about collusion, about this whole event, or accusations that as you read the story, you were stunned about how wrong they got the facts?
Yes. There have been many, many stories purportedly based on classified information about lots of stuff, but especially about Russia, that are just dead wrong.
I was interested in your comment that you made as well, that the president said to you, if there were some satellite associates of his that did something wrong, it would be good to find that out. That the president seemed to talk to you specifically on March the 30th and say, I'm frustrated that the word is not getting out that I'm not under investigation. But if there are people that are in my circle that are, let's finish the investigation. Is that how you took it as well?
Yes, sir. Yes.
And then you made a comment earlier about the Attorney General, previous Attorney General, asking you about the investigation on the Clinton emails, saying that you've been asked not to call it an investigation anymore, but to call it a matter. And you had said that confused you. Can you give us additional details on that?
Well, it concerned me because we were at the point where we had refused to confirm the existence, as we typically do, of an investigation for months. And it was getting to a place where that looked silly because the campaigns were talking about interacting with the FBI in the course of our work. The Clinton campaign at the time was using all kinds of euphemisms, security review, matters, things like that, for what was going on. We were getting to a place where the Attorney General and I were both going to have to testify and talk publicly about it. And I wanted to know, was she going to authorize us to confirm we had an investigation? And she said, yes, but don't call it that. Call it a matter. And I said, why would I do that? And she said, just call it a matter. And again, you look back in hindsight, you think, should I have resisted harder? I just said, all right, this isn't a hill worth dying on. And so I just said, okay, the press is going to completely ignore it. And that's what happened. When I said, we have opened a matter, they all reported the FBI has an investigation open. And so that concerned me because that language tracked the way the campaign was talking about the FBI's work. And that's concerning.
It gave the impression that the campaign was somehow using the same language as the FBI because you were handed the campaign language and told to be able to use the campaign
language. And again, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but it gave the impression that the Attorney General was looking to align the way we talked about our work with the way a political campaign was describing the same activity, which was inaccurate. We had a criminal investigation open. As I said before, the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We had an investigation open at the time, and so that gave me a queasy feeling.
Thank you.
Senator Manchin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Comey. I appreciate very much you being here. West Virginians are very interested in this hearing that we're having today. I've had over 600 requests for questions to ask you from my fellow West Virginians, and most of them have been asked, and there's quite a few of them that were quite detailed while asking our classified hearing. I want to thank you, first of all, for coming and agreeing to be here, volunteering, but also volunteering to stay into the classified hearing. I don't know if you had a chance to watch our hearing yesterday.
I watched part of it.
Manchin from West Virginia now asking questions of FBI Director, former FBI Director James Comey on 670 KBOI.
They could have answered in this open setting. They refused to do so. So that even makes us much more appreciative of your cooperation. Sir, the seriousness of the Russian aggression in our past elections, and knowing that it'll be ongoing, as Senator King had alluded to, what's your concerns there?
9:55 now at 670 KBOI. We've got news at the top of the hour. We've got local news with Rick Worthington. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Rush Limbaugh will be carrying this. He will jip into it, as he always does, join in progress,
right,
and follow along with everything that's going on with Senator Comey. I'm sorry. Former FBI Director. I want to call him Senator for some reason. Director.
Everyone else in the room is a Senator.
James Comey. Testifying in front of the Senate Intelligence Committee. Paul Jay will be back tomorrow. He had a doctor's appointment today. Everything's good. He'll be back tomorrow. You'll be here tomorrow. It's open phones Friday. The mayor will be with us tomorrow from 8:30 to 9, so we'll always have some of that also. And we can complain about the closed streets downtown. 9:55. Again, news, local news with Rick Worthington, and then Rush Limbaugh. Come up after the break on 670 KBOI.